Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Let's bring in the outstanding Mike Gross. Mike, I was just down in Lancaster on Friday. It's great to hear from you.
Good to be with you, Steve, as always. How are you?
Doing great. Off-season's always interesting. You see where Penn State sits right now in a lot of different areas. So what's your thought on this football team right now? Is they're really into the... Now that they have the transfers are on campus, Cephas is here, Ford's here, Trey Potts is here. What do you think about this team?
Well, it's interesting because I thought James Franklin talked an awful lot in the spring about having to find another wide receiver or two. And I kept thinking, is he almost like not counting Cephas? I thought that was a little strange. And they do have to get more depth at wide receiver, but that's just one example, I think. We all know the position groups where they're going to be really good. I think a defensive end, for example, they're going to be as good as anybody in the country. And there's some. I still am concerned about defensive tackle. The very interior right over the ball kind of thing. With Mustafa's absence. And I think people haven't talked about that much. Would be a concern. There's a lot to like about this football team. It's only May, but there's a lot of talent, a lot of athletes, a lot of depth, and of course the young man at quarterback that everybody is going to have their eyes on in a couple of months.
Yeah, and just so everybody understands, to Mike's point about with Cephas, James couldn't talk about him because... he wasn't officially in yet.
What I'm saying is he was talking about having to find more wide receivers, as if he didn't exist. Maybe I'm just imagining that. I don't know, but that's all I'm saying.
I mean, when you watch Drew, because you mentioned Aller, what have you thought watching him? Because I mean, obviously we're gonna have to see him play in meaningful games, but what do you think?
Well, he's such a big kid. I mean, he's big all over, big thighs, big everything. That I think he is more mobile and athletic than maybe it looks to the casual eye, just because he's so big that he doesn't look like he's moving fast. I don't think some of my colleagues think his mobility is going to be an issue. I don't think it is. I think he's got good feel for that kind of Tom Brady-esque mobility within the pocket that they talk about. I think that's critically important. And he's not really a dual threat quarterback. That's not what we're talking about here. It's a different deal. But there's a lot to like, and I don't think. Anybody who has a problem with him looking at him physically would be the mobility issue, and I don't think that's much of an issue.
Yeah, neither do I, Mike, and the reason is, and this is what I've told people, he moves better than people realize he does.
Well, that's what I'm saying,
Yeah, and you watch him, and like when it's time to take off and go, he'll take off and go. This is not a scrambler. He's not going to be able to buy all this time. But it's time to take off and go. Drew can take off and go, which is terrific.
And he showed some of that in the blue-white game. And I realize it's the blue-white game, but I think he showed some of that,
What do you think of the Beaver Stadium renovations and what they would like to do with it, just based on what you've heard about so far?
Well, I would really like to hear some upgrading of the press box.
I'm
serious about that. One of the funniest thing about, if you remember the Paterno movie where Al Pacino portrayed Joe, the funniest thing about that whole thing was the depiction of the Beaver Stadium press box like it was a sports bar or something. I thought that was delightful. But and anybody who's ever been in that press box. thought it was delightful. But you know, I mean, I think it's probably needed. I think the people who think they should build a new stadium are being a little unrealistic. Maybe the idea of decreasing the capacity a little bit and making it a little more user friendly, I think that's a pretty good idea. And apparently, the plan is it's still going to seat 100,000, which is sort of like that. That's meaningful to people, I think, in a weird way. Mm-hmm. So, it's easy to say, well, I don't know why it took this long, I'm good with it. I think it's a stadium that doesn't look super impressive from the outside. And maybe even sprucing up the look of is something that's worth doing.
Right. Yeah, I know that. I mean, you know, these things don't sound sexy, but better bathrooms, better concessions, wider concourses in the middle and the bottom. I mean, those are all fan-friendly. I'll tell you one quick story about the press box. Now, they have fixed all this since this story. Because they actually put some money into the press box, like
they did, yeah, mm-hmm.
four or 5 years ago.
Yep.
But at one point we had warped ceiling tiles up in the broadcast booth.
Right.
And you know they'll bring fans into the booth during the course of the game, and you know, and I could care less as long as they're not standing in front of me, Mike. It doesn't matter, right?
Yeah, that would be a problem.
Right. So I'm calling a play and Penn State gets a touchdown. It was against Michigan. And one of the fans jumped up, and we had this warped ceiling tile, and he jumped up, and he hit the tile, and it popped out, and it came down and popped me on the head.
While Jack was talking,
I put it back up while Jack was talking.
Well, you're versatile. You're nothing if not versatile.
If nothing, I mean, jack of all trades, master of none.
There you go.
How many questions do you get from fans, Mike, about the transfer portal and about NIL?
A lot, really a lot. And I get some really intelligent. I have a good group of readers who are Penn State fans and want. Penn State fans, but not crazy fanatical, want me to try to explain things to them. I've written a lot about the NIL stuff, and I've written a lot about the portal. And a lot of questions, a lot of people are dubious about it. A lot of people think one thing I hear a lot is, well, how's the left guard going to feel if the running back's getting something and he's not? That kind of thing. I get a lot of questions about that, and again, I think it's an important thing. So I've spent a lot of time on it. trying to explain it and trying to understand it so that I can explain it.
Yeah, because when I have done a bunch of speeches out on the road the last month, and I would say nearly half of the questions deal with the transfer portal and NIL. And I was asked about that, the left guard versus the running back thing.
Yeah.
And I said, there's one easy way to solve that. It's called film and evaluation and gradings on Sunday. Problem solved. Problem solved.
I think people, just the word portal, people think that makes it sound like a brand new thing. And of course, the rules are new, but if really what we were dealing with was, well, the NCAA had tweaked the transfer rules, well, that would be. So something about that word portal that I think makes people kind of roll their eyes or something. But, you know, I think the portal, honestly, it makes it a little more interesting. It makes the whole thing a little more interesting. It makes managing your roster, as from the coaching staff standpoint, more complicated and more interesting. And You hate to see the idea of these sort of vagabond players who transferred multiple times. But on the other hand, there's opportunity for teams and for players to improve their situation. So I'm okay.
Mike, have you, and your thought process about NIL, your thought process about the portal, have you thought of ways to solve it? Any solutions, or is it too tough a nut to crack?
The NIL thing. When you say how to solve it, you're assuming. I assume what you mean is that it's kind of become a recruiting weapon, where you're making an offer to a kid that is heavily influenced by NIL. So how do you solve that? I don't know how you solve that, because that's one of those things that it's almost like it's just people really, really want to win, and they'll find a way. You could draw a straight line. I've written this before. You could draw a straight line from Rutgers against Princeton in 1887 or whenever that was to right now and NIL and all that stuff. And the thing that has driven that line for over a century is people really love this stuff, and they really, really, really want to win at it. That's all there is. That's what it's come to.
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, exactly. Well, look, if you ever get a chance, read Dave Revson's book, Looking Back at the Roots of College Football, like the late 1800s, early 1900s. And you know what you'll find? There isn't much difference between then and now. That's what really is crazy about it, Mike. You read it and go, oh, really, things haven't changed all that much.
As I understand it, in those very early days, the game was, people were worried about the violence in the game to the extent where, isn't it true that Teddy Roosevelt suggested making football illegal or something like that?
Yes, you're right. You're exactly right, Mike.
Yeah, way back.
Way back when.
Yep.
If that was proposed now, people would take to the streets. Like, no.
Yeah, really.
Exactly. I will say this. Has the portal, and maybe NIL to the point, but the portal made your off-season job more interesting?
Yes, I think so. Yeah. I mean, I look at it all the time, and it's almost... It's something like an analog to free agency in pro sports,
yes.
and that's a little distasteful, I think, to most people when we're talking about college sports. But I think it's made it more interesting, and you obviously recruit, if that's the right word, recruit for positional need more in the portal, whereas when you're recruiting high school kids, you're recruiting upside and potential and athleticism and all that. Although, you know, positional, it's football, so of course positional specific stuff is important. But I would say that it has made it more interesting, and I would also say that it hasn't been the kind of thing that has just driven me bananas the way it would be if I was working for one of these recruiting sites and living with it every single day. I have other stuff, so it's not the kind of thing where I'm going too far down the rabbit hole.
Mike, it's always a lot of fun for me to talk with you. You know that. Thanks a lot for your time.
Appreciate
again
it.
Today.
All right.
Thanks,
I enjoyed
Mike.
It, Steve, as always. See ya.